Is it possible that the image we have of Constantine as a Christian emperor has also been fabricated? To answer that question, Simca now investigates a secret religion that claimed the most powerful people in the empire as its followers. This religion worshipped a pagan god who had an uncanny resemblance to Jesus. Early Christian history states that the Roman Emperor Constantine received a divine vision of Jesus before defeating his archrival Maxentius, winning control of the Roman Empire and causing the Western world to become Christian. But was Constantine a true Christian? The most important statement we have from him is his triumphal arch in Rome. On it, Simca doesn't find a single Christian icon, but he does find pagan symbols. On this panel, Constantine is surrounded by pagan gods, the god of the river Tiber, a winged goddess of victory, and by Roma, goddess of Rome, an archaeological patchwork of pagan symbolism. Compelling evidence that Constantine only adopted Christian ideas to gain favor with Roman soldiers in both his and Maxentius's armies. But winning over common soldiers wasn't enough.
To gain control over the entire Roman Empire, Constantine needed the support of the officer corps and the Roman elite. Many members of these classes belonged to a mysterious cult that had been around since before Jesus. That cult was called Mithraism, named after a Mediterranean sun god called Mithras. How did Constantine mobilize both these religions to serve his own ends? Can it be that what appealed to him was a blend of Mithraism and Christianity? Did he fuse the two together to create a super religion that would allow him to gain control over the entire Roman world?
Not far from the Roman military fort where Simca has seen evidence of Christian soldiers in Constantine's army, another fort was discovered in 1949 by a French bulldog sniffing for bones. But instead of bones or Christian symbols, this fort revealed a special temple built by Roman officers that were devoted to the pagan god, Mithras.
My father's dog, same breed as this one, a French bulldog, was sniffing around and found the middle altar. As you can see, it's very wet here. It was all preserved due to the dampness.
Now, this is close to the Roman fort?
Yes, and it was 500 foot soldiers, and Mithras was for the officers. So that's why it's so small.
So the Roman officer class, which Constantine belonged to, secretly worshipped Mithras at this temple. At the exact same time, an increasing number of ordinary Roman soldiers were worshipping Jesus right next door. Mithraism was an elitist and secret religion practiced only by men. Initiates walked into this clandestine temple lit only by a few torches. Arriving at the front of the temple, these initiates would have seen an altar to the god Mithras, rays projecting from his head. Lit from behind by candlelight, the halo effect symbolized Mithras' status as a sun god, a striking precursor to the halo that surrounds the head of Jesus. This could be mere coincidence if it weren't for the fact that archaeologists have found the remains of Mithraic temples all over the Roman Empire. And more often than not, those temples were found hidden beneath the world's first Christian churches. To see one of these Mithraeums, Simca now goes to the Santa Prisca Church in Rome. Here, excavators pulled up the floor of the church and discovered one of the largest Mithraic temples ever found. In cavernous, dark rooms like these, the Roman elite would worship in secret.
This is amazing. I feel like I'm in the Notre Dame Cathedral of Mithraism.
Well, this is a pretty sizable one. The idea is this is a recreation of the primal cave where Mithras commits the sacrifice of the bull, which is the core event in Mithraism.
The one source of light in this dark temple illuminates the centerpiece, a bas relief that depicts the main myth of Mithraic belief. Jutting out from the primordial rock, the sun god Mithras, the son of the sun, slaughters the sacrificial bull. And through the shedding of his blood, the universe is created anew.
Essentially, what we're seeing is Mithras being seen as the key creator god who makes possible the regeneration of life.
And you've got the primordial rock, you know, the cocoon out of which the whole universe is born.
Impressive, but it also sounds pretty pagan. And yet, a strange inscription here suggests a more Christian approach.
We don't have many inscriptions of Mithras.
Right.
It's a secret, and they didn't write that much. This is unusual, this place, that it does have a very faded inscription.
That is correct. One particular text, the Latin, translates as, "And you have saved us through the shedding of the eternal blood."
You have saved us through the shedding of the eternal blood.
Yes.
So here, the central bloodletting is seen as an act of salvation.
Yes, and the key event in the whole nature of cosmic creation and the whole nature of life.
Mithras sacrifices the bull and spills its blood, strangely corresponding to the Christian concept of Jesus offering his own blood to save mankind. But the similarities don't end there.
A lot of the Mithraic rituals very closely corresponded to what the Christians would do in their worship. The sacred meal that they would participate in is taking the body or the blood of this sacrifice by sharing a meal of bread and wine.
Here?
Here.
So it's communion.
It's basically a communion, a Eucharist. And those who partake in this feast will live forever.
So just as Christians reenact the Last Supper with Jesus before his death, a form of communion was also practiced here. And just as Jesus died and was resurrected, so was Mithras. Which is why at this altar, Mithras is pictured right next to a sculpture of an Egyptian god.
And this particular god, if you look carefully at his forehead, you notice that little lock that hangs down there? That's actually what signifies that he is the reconfiguration of the god Osiris.
And Osiris is the dying and resurrecting god of the Egyptians.
Right.
Just like Christians, Mithraists believed in the concept of resurrection, which may explain why both religions were popular to members of the Roman military. Faced with the daily risk of death, who wouldn't put their faith in the possibility of resurrection and eternal life? But what's most compelling is evidence that Mithras' followers celebrated his holy birth on December 25th, the same day that Christians would later celebrate the birth of Jesus.
It was shocking to me when I learned that nobody talked about Jesus' birthday as December 25th when Jesus was walking the earth.
Yes.
It was Mithras' birthday.
That is correct. And this is because December 25th was, for the Romans, always a traditional important holiday, the Feast of the Saturnalia, which went on for 12 days. And everybody was expected to give presents during time period.
And so suddenly 12 days, gift-giving, December 25th.
And a lot of these symbols do find their way into Christian iconography.
As it turns out, Mithraism is embedded in the Gospels themselves through the story of the three wise men. At the Church of St. Apollinare Nuovo in Ravenna, Italy, the iconography is still Mithraic.
Here we have the three wise men, also known as the Magi. This is the scene that's recounted at the birth of Christ, that these three wise men are bringing these gifts to the Christ child. And the hats that they're wearing, in Greco-Roman art, this sort of became the standard hat that would be used in their artwork to denote somebody who's an Easterner.
But these hats weren't worn by just any non-Christian from the East. Called Phrygian caps, they were the official hats of the Mithraic priesthood, also known as the Magi. Even Mithras is depicted wearing the same style of hat. And although there are no Christian symbols on the Arch of Constantine, The arch is literally ringed by eight magi-looking figures wearing the Phrygian hats of the Mithraic priesthood.
But if Constantine was the worshiper of a sun god, how could he have championed Christianity? Unless he created a new version of Christianity, partially fashioned in the image of Mithraism. To do that, he would have had to convince Christians that he was one of them, while in reality supporting the introduction of pagan ideas into their faith. And to do that, I believe Constantine needed the help of someone working on the inside of the early Christian church.